Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Butterfly Evolution. We're coming to you tonight for another episode of topic of fear, as we talked about it 2 weeks ago and determined that we needed just a whole lot more time to discuss this topic, as we determined that many people are dealing with this stronghold of fear. So we decided to come back on tonight and have you comment, ask questions, and share with us your fears. Just to recap on last week's topic and conversation, we described or defined the topic of fear. I was able to go into depth of one of my, I think, my biggest fears of life. I shared that with you, and Tika had intentions on sharing with you last week, but we ran out of time, and we did not have a chance to get through the entire episode. So what we're going to do tonight is, again, we're discussing the topic of fear. We just want to start by thanking you all for tuning in to listen to us tonight, welcoming you to another episode, of course, of Butterfly Evolution with your hosts, Tammy Gator and Chatika Beard. Our goal here is always to empower, uplift, and enrich the lives of those who are seeking to become whole, seeking wholeness in their life. So in order to do that, we have to determine where we are in life and be willing to address it, make change, and do that work in order to get through that change or to have that change take place. What I'd like to do tonight is just kind of recap. We had some callers that shared with us their fears. We had a caller that called in that had fear of success, fear of basically failure, dying. Of course, I shared my fear of doctors and visiting the doctor based on what happened with me and losing my grandmother at such a young age. So what we want to do is kind of go over what fear is. And I'd like to start, we started last week or the week before last just by defining fear as a response to a potential danger. And this is the definition basically in the dictionary, basically, a response to a potential danger. And for me, that just did not do it. Of course, I think of those as just ordinary things, regular things that you may be fear of dogs, or a good example is fear of someone breaking into your house. Tika kind of talked about that last week in one of her descriptions of fear, and I found it to be ironic because I had that on my worksheet, but of course I didn't get to go through all of my notes because of just sharing my fear with you and not really being able to get through it as I hoped I would have been. But again, just imagine as you think about your fear, imagine, and I'm going to go to, of course, the Bible, because I think that's where all of this starts, where the healing starts for us is through God's word. And I want you to think about Mark 4. This is where it talks about God, Jesus being, you know, out with the apostles, and they wake him up to say, you know, perish you not that we're going to perish, basically. Perish you not that we're in trouble. And as I thought about that, I thought about my home, being here in my home alone, so to speak, but knowing that God is in the other room and someone is breaking in my house. And it became funny to me because I thought how awesome that would feel in some way, because you know that God is in here with you, but the person trying to break in does not know. So I almost could just kind of see myself going to kind of quietly unlock the door to be sure that they got in, because I knew I was protected inside because I had God in here with me. But to think that I would have to get up and come on the other side of my house and wake him up and say they're breaking in, that sounded a little far-fetched for me. So I started thinking that's no different from my life, you know, that I abide in him and he abides in me, and that I'm protected through whatever. That doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. I'm not going to have these strongholds. I'm not going to be fearful of some things, but it's not what we go through. It's how we go through it and with whom we go through it with. Sometimes it's easier to go through things when you have family and friends around you, loved ones, but it's all the difference when you have the Word of God in your life, and you are, you know who you are in Christ, and He, and who He is in you. So that's how I kind of define just your normal fear. But we are talking tonight about those things that are fearful to you that keep you in bondage, those strongholds, those things that keep you from moving forward, those things that keep you, I'd like to say, under the shelter, you know, without...
Hold you captive.
Right, hold you captive. Teek and I was kind of talking before the show and came across this scenario of just mentioning when it fear keeps you under the shelter. You know, when I think about keeping you under the shelter, a lot of people, it came to us that when it's raining, a lot of people don't want to go out when it's raining. They just, it puts them in a state of depression. The weather can make someone depressed. And they just don't want to be out. But what we thought about, if you're not out in the rain, you could miss a beautiful rainbow. So you kind of have to go out. You have to step out. Right, you have to step out on the ledge, because if you don't go out in the rain, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to see that rainbow. So as we go through and we talk about fear and we share our fears, start to think about the fact that you have the Word in you, and if you don't, then get it in you. Read your Bible, pray, and know that God is with you at all times and through all things. So, again, we're talking about those fears that are just kind of silent killers, those things that are unknown to you and some known. And what we're going to do is Tika's going to kind of share with you what fear is from her perspective, and then she's going to get into what her fear is, what her fear has been in life, and those that major thing in her life that she feels have kept her in bondage. And then we're going to come back. I have a few more things to share, and then we're going to take some calls. Remember, if you're on air and you do want to make a comment, or if you have a question, please at any time select the number 1. If you don't have a question or a comment, you can just continue to listen as you are. But if you do have a comment or a question, please at any time throughout the process or throughout the show, you may select the number 1. Okay, well, I'm going to turn it over to Tika, and she's going to get into a little bit more depth about fear as it comes from her perspective, and then we'll have her share her fear with you and then take some calls, and hopefully you all have some things that you want to share tonight that was not shared last week. Tika.
Hello. Our hope in this is to help you all to recognize this enemy called fear in order to break you free from its bondage. Just want to recap a little on what fear is and, you know, how it's developed. And the reason we fear is a result of learning. So although fear is learned, the capacity to learn is a part of human nature. And a person learns to fear regardless of whether they themselves have experienced that trauma, but they can learn it by observing others. Another way we fear is through fear conditioning, and that is by way of being taught at an early age, either by experience or from our role models, what and who to fear. So these are the different ways that fear is developed. And from my understanding, we bring our greatest fears to life. Our greatest fears manifest because they are our most focused and most dominated thoughts. Through intensified focus and directed thought on your greatest fear, you exert more focus on the problem than you do a solution, and more than the possibility that you could yield a different outcome. And this is how our fears are brought to life. Also recapping on being that everything in this universe is energy. We are energy, and everything in this universe is energy. And though our bodies may appear to be solid, just through the if you magnify the cells, molecules, and atoms, you'll see that we're composed of mostly energy on a basic level of subtle energy fields containing little of, if any, matter. So our fears are able to manifest based on our strongest, most dominant thoughts. Our brains become magnetized with dominating thoughts. They are held in our minds by means with which no man is familiar with, and they're like magnets. Our thoughts are like magnets that attract us to forces, people, circumstances, and of life, which harmonize with the nature of our dominating thoughts. And I'd like to share with you tonight what my greatest fear was. It's no longer my greatest fear because it actually came to life. It was the greatest fear that paralyzed me. I mean, this fear kept me paralyzed for well over a decade. But my biggest fear was being a single mother. This fear was so great that just by the thought of it alone would bring me to tears. It's something I never wanted to experience. I decided at the age of 10 that I would never be a single mother because I saw the way my single mother struggled. And that was my goal, to make sure this never, ever, ever happened. But not realizing that I was making this and allowing this to be the most dominating factor over my whole entire life, that no matter how much I was trying to keep it from happening, everything that I've done in my life, all of my life choices was making this inevitable. But without my realization of this, all I did was just kept causing it and making it possible to happen by wrong choices. I don't know how to make a long story short because I know we only have so much time, but I thought that I had made such a mess of my life and my choices and in my choice for marriage. I thought that I had made such a wrong choice that I felt that, okay, this big fear of mine, this is about to come true. I cannot face it. I can't live with it. I can't deal with it. I cannot live with this choice that I've made. And so all that I could think of was an escape. I needed some form, some way, some fashion to escape the mess of my life that I made. Now, there's no true escape from the mess that you made, but we do have in our minds that we can escape the madness and the chaos that we've created in our life. So my solution to this was suicide. My grandmother, being taught as a child that since our life was not ours to take, that taking our own lives would mean we wouldn't go to heaven, and it would mean that hell would be the eternal place that we would remain and burn. And I believe this so much as a child that suicide was always something that I knew was never a solution. But when you're in such a frame of when you don't have a sane mind, you're working and you're dealing with and in insanity. So in the area that I was mentally, emotionally, and physically, suicide was my only solution. And I actually had in my mind at this point in time, since I wasn't in my right mind, I actually had in my mind that burning forever would be better than living on earth with this person that I made this choice with. Not realizing that I was so selfishly leaving behind my daughters 2, 3, and 5, I actually believed then at the time that I'd be ridding them of such a horrible and damaging mother. With this ordeal, I did attempt suicide in 2002, and with this ordeal, this landed me in Lakeside for 11 days. And I'm a little emotional now, but I'm going to keep on going just because it's emotional, not because I'm still there. It's emotional because I made it through, and it's emotional to me because I'm still here to tell my story, and I'm still here to see how many people God is going to place me in the lives to save. Like I said, I would have been leaving behind 2-3 daughters at the ages of 2, 3, and 5. Now, being able to go in this mental and behavioral facility, I remember crying and calling my, at the time, husband to come and get me out of this place with these crazy people, not realizing that my behavior and everything that I was doing, my actions and everything, it was putting me right in that category of what I thought to be crazy. I thought that this was the worst moment, the worst time of my life, of my entire life. I thought that nothing can be more devastating than being placed in a place like this. But this wound up being the worst thing for me, but the best thing for me. The worst thing for me physically, but the best thing for me spiritually and emotionally. Because being in a place like this, it was mandatory to attend the classes. It was mandatory to attend the sessions. It was mandatory to attend the groups. And one of the most impactful sessions was a trauma session that I wound up going to and through. And during this session, the way that they were able to bring about you releasing your fears, you had to find, reveal, and expose and verbalize and speak your most greatest fear. And sometimes we don't realize what those things are because we may have a number of them, but it is one that is so great that if we pinpoint what that greatest fear is, it will cause all subsequent fears to fall into place and to be removed as well. Anyway, as I went through this process and was able to relocate and find and speak my greatest fear, I was able to almost see on a giant picture screen. It's amazing the process they put you through, but on a giant picture screen, I was able to see the fears in my life unfolding. And as I began to release them and speak them, I could just see them being released through me. God was just releasing them through me, but that first biggest one had to be released. I thank God for that experience, even though it was scary at the time, but I thank God for that experience, because had I not gone through that experience, I would have been maybe on suicide attempt number two or suicide attempt number three, or I may have just been successful with it to where I wouldn't be able to tell this story or share with anybody my experience. But going through this experience and realizing this, it was something that even though it was a big boom for me, it was something that I still went home and I sank right back into all of those false beliefs and all of those false illusions. I slightly sank back into them and kind of slightly sank back into a state of depression. But that was a major stepping ground. That was a major experience for me to go through. And even though I was feeling, periods of depression, I kept remembering, I kept focusing on everything that I learned in there. And even though it wound up being a baby step, it kept me taking baby steps. It was about 4 years after coming out of Lakeside that I found the gang of strength to leave an unhealthy and abusive relationship. And it's not something that I could solely blame on my ex-husband, because there is something in me that keeps me, I was just as sick and mentally broken for accepting this fate for myself. And so it took me realizing this, and it took me surrendering my life and this fear to God. Because without doing that, somebody was going to die in this relationship. It was going to be me or it was going to be him. Because by the time I made it to 2006, my thoughts of suicide had grown to thoughts of homicide. And it was in the month of May in 2006 that I was actually working out in my mind how I was going to end this misery for good. And I called my mother and I told my mother what I was going to do. And that was when my mother walked me through and talked some sane sanity into me, revealing to me all that I was getting ready to really destroy just because I'm dealing with such insane thoughts. And I just really want to share that without God, without knowledge of God, and without knowing God, all of my destructive plans would have come to pass because I was destructive on the inside. And there is no way that you can heal and pull yourself up from an insane mind. There's no way you can pull yourself from insane to sane on your own. There's no way that you can do it. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that had it not been for all of God that was put into me as a child, for it to even be there for me to go back on and feel that I can go back to. But then all that I reached out and for all of those that I reached out to, Tammy being one of them, and I have another friend that I reached out to, and my mother and my Aunt DeAndre in Florida, my mother Renee, had it not been out for my family that I reached out to, this would not be something that, I'm able to share right now. And so through this large ordeal, my dominating thoughts, my biggest factor, my dominating thoughts, strongest factor and strongest fear was becoming a single mother. And like I said, this was so traumatizing, so devastating, so paralyzing that it's not the same fear for everybody else, because there's a lot of single mothers out there. But it didn't drive in them the same fear. It was a drive for me. And so it's just that. Something with my mom going through. I had in my mind I'd be destitute.
Right.
And I'm not going to raise my kids. Right. And I don't want to go through this or experience this. And so I was doing pretty good by, living up to this facade I thought I had. But I lived in a marriage that was a lie. I mean, I put on a smile on the front for over a decade just to. We looked fine and we looked like we were a nice, happy family. But behind closed doors, I was miserable. I suffered through 7 years of clinical depression and 6 years of antidepressants and, years and years of suicidal thoughts.
That's why it's so important, even with Tika. The one thing
that I've tried to always remind her of is you have three daughters who are watching you, who are they're learning from you how to respond, how to react, how to deal with situations and deal with things. And sometimes you have to be able to just, you know, I hate to say fake it, but in some instances we need to, particularly for kids, and not so much as fake it, but we need to deal with our own issues because kids watch us, kids learn how to be emotional or how to react to their emotions based on what they see us as parents do. And I mean that women and men. So you have to be mindful as you are parenting your children as to how you deal with things, how you respond to people, what things you allow in your life, what things you don't allow in your life. Your fears can take on, can become your children's fears.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't see you get out and go and do and trust God for everything,
yeah.
They can take on that same thing.
Your children, if I can share, your
right.
children feed on you. And I had a friend of mine. She was like a mom to me. She would tell me, she said, your girls, they're going to feed on you. When you're happy, they'll be happy. When you're crying, they're going to cry. When they see you sad, they're going to be sad. And when they see you mm-hmm. upset and in a panic mode, they're going to do the same thing. And I actually watched my girls. I actually watched them, whatever I was going through and whatever I was feeling and whichever way my behavior would lean towards, that's what they would do. They really took on my feelings and my emotions. And when you really recognize these things, it's crazy not to change from being this way. When you see, okay, this damaging me, I'm putting it on my children, and they don't know of this other than learning it from me.
Just as you did. Just
yeah,
as you
just
took
as
on your perception of what your mom was going through, and you brought that fear into your life at 10 years old saying that I'm
this
not,
is not
going
what
to
I will
be
experience.
A single parent. That's
right,
something
never.
For a 10-year-old to be determining that I will not be a single parent. And then to be an adult and take on that fear and decide to stay or to take my life rather than stay and then just then contemplate on taking everybody's life rather than staying. Those are the kind of fears that we want you to think about tonight, those things that are keeping you in bondage, keeping you under the shelter, keeping you from moving forward, keeping you just stagnant in your life, because those are the things that are just kind of unknown to you in some instances. I think we're fearful of some things that we don't even recognize or acknowledge that mm-hmm. it's fear that's keeping us back. I remember when I was afraid to fly. I mean, I would do whatever not to fly. I would drive 20 hours not to fly. And for me now, that seems just so insane. But even the fear of flying keeps people from accepting jobs. It keeps people from seeing other places, you know, in the world, and so forth. So those are the things that we want you all to think about. And Tika, you have something
also,
else?
Yeah, I wanted to share, with me having such damaged emotions on the inside, I couldn't understand why I saw such an ugly world on the outside. And I have this book called A Course in Miracles, but it stated something just so profound and simple. Who looks upon himself as guilty and sees a sinless world? And who can look upon a sinful world and see himself apart from it? Meaning that the ugliness that I saw in myself, that was projected upon the world. And, I mean, I hated the world, I hated the universe, but it was all based on my choices, and I couldn't see this. And it was something that it took me some stages and steps to go through with in realizing. But I've come to realize, and that's one of the things I want you to realize as well, that light, joy, and peace, it abides in you because we were created in God's image. And it says in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. It's hard to believe this about yourself when your fears keep you in bondage. Your fears keep you blind. Your fears keep you in darkness. Your fears keep you from seeing, and your fears keep you from having the vision that God has given you. So based on your life circumstances and your choices, or based on what has taken place with you or happened to you, whether it be a rape, a molestation, or abuse, whether those things have happened to you, these things will cause you to have fear on the inside, and they will cause you to have hatred towards yourself and hatred towards the world. And in knowing this, would you not happily exchange your confusion for certainty, and would you not be willing to be free of misery and learn again of God's joy?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we have some callers that we'd like to bring on. And I believe we have Chris online with us. Chris?
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I am good. How is everybody?
Good. I don't think you're a first-time listener, but I think you're a first-time caller, right?
Yeah, I listened like, I think that was like a couple of Mondays ago or whatever, but I couldn't be able to, you know what I'm saying, come in because we were running out of time, but, you know, I was like, I'm coming in and, you know, talk this time because I called at 7:59, so I was like, yeah, I'm going to talk today.
Well, do you have a fear that you want to share with us, or is it something that you feel that has been bondage and knowingly or not, you know, not knowing? You share with us any comments, questions, or
well,
what
as
brings
I was,
you?
As y'all was talking, yeah, as y'all was talking, you know, I had, you know, a whole lot of stuff started coming to mind, you know what I'm saying, like as far as, you know, on the spiritual side and stuff, and I'm going to put it in a nutshell, but I'm going to share with you, you know, my fear. My fear is like, say if, you know, God blessing me and stuff like that, my fear is like sudden unexpected stuff that happens, you know what I'm saying, like sudden loss of whatever, you know, that God blessed me with or whatever, you know, just like sudden setbacks, you know, that just seem to happen. I mean, you know, if I can see something or feel something happen, I can deal with it, but like if it's just unexpected, all suddenly just like bam in a second, I fear that, you know, and I fear that. Like, as God blessing me and I feel myself in a season of increase, I feel myself, like, kind of holding back, not, you know, from enjoying it a lot because, you know, I'm like, okay, now what if some, you know, I'm always frantic, always looking around and see, you know, what bad happens next. And that results of because me always, you know what I'm saying, like, struggling, you know, and it comes from struggling a lot, you know, as far as, you know, circumstances and so forth. And, you know, and I just seem to kind of get past, you know, just not thinking about what might happen when I'm in my season of increase. You know, I have to just keep on, you know, just enjoy it while I have it, you know what I'm saying, and not just keep on thinking about, you know, keep on being paranoid, you know. And
Chris, what for me, Chris, with that is, and just knowing you and talking with you and knowing how to be so young and have a heart for God, to me is just blind, just mind-boggling to me because I can't imagine being your age and being after God in the way that you are. But what comes to mind to me for that is you need to remember God's word and stand on that because you are so spiritual and you can tell anybody about the word, but you have to remember the word and remember that God has promised things to you. And if you know in your heart that even you said God's word does not return void. So what you're saying and doing that is saying, you know, I don't trust God's word.
Yeah, I find this and, being a lack of faith.
Right, and that could be, like Tika was talking about, you manifest those things. You know, if you don't expect greatness, if you don't expect to be blessed through whatever, and again, not always saying life is going to be easy. But if you
expect the worst will always happen. Don't ever let
Don't let your compounded fears
be
greater. I'm not saying that, you know, that, you know, my faith just diminished, you know what I'm saying, when my season of victories comes. I mean, you know, I fear that's the only thing I can think of right now. That's not, you know, like a point to an insane type of fear. It's just like a little, you know, little fear because, you know, it's like I fear that to a certain extent. I mean, there are some things in my life that I can recall that's happened suddenly, but really didn't bother me. You know, this is like kind of like the only thing that I can work, you know, think about now. But, you know, God is, he's even working on me on that because I'm, you know, back then I was just like, you know, it wasn't a point of insanity, but it was like way worse than I am now. And I have grown so much and just continue to just stay in his presence, you know what I'm saying, to gain strength and so forth. It's, I still struggle with it, but it's just not, it's like I dealt with most of it, but not all of it. You know what I'm saying? And I do have faith in his word. I do, you know what I'm saying, stand on the word, stuff like that. But my flesh keeps on fighting against that, you know what I'm saying? And the lack of me getting in his presence, you know what I'm saying? I allow the flesh to, you know, strengthen itself off that, you know? And I came to the, you know, when you was referring to, like, mindset and so forth, you know, my mind came, you know, the spirit revealed to me Romans 12:2, like, you know, a lot of insane thoughts and stuff like that. That's why God told us to, in his verse to, you know, do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind. We have to renew our mind. Our mind is like a program, and it controls, you know, the thoughts controls our actions and stuff like that. And then we renew, you know what I'm saying, like I said, if we renew our, you know what I'm saying, thinking patterns in our minds and just stay in his word and stuff like that, we can overcome that. And, you know, I'm going to read to you out of a book by T.L. Lowry that I've been studying. And he's, and I'm just a little passage. It ain't just going to take up time and like that. But
yeah,
this refers
to. Could you tell us the name of the book so we can put it out there? And then we're going to take two more callers since we have 14 minutes left. Could you tell us
okay,
the name of the book?
It's by T.L. Lowry called Walking in Supernatural. And I was just going to refer to it as one of our hindrances is that we don't really totally depend on his presence. You know, and we must develop a total dependence on God's presence and learn to live under the cloud of his glory, not letting anything cause you to come out from under it. You know what I'm saying? He was just getting to talking like God wants to bring you into a new position of strength that comes from living in the presence of his glory. As you learn to live and walk continually in his presence, you'll become fearless. You know, when pain and sickness comes, you won't be afraid and financial crisis and, you know, you won't be moved and stuff like that. So, like I was saying earlier about
right.
me, is I have to, you know, learn. I just have to just get more and more in his presence and soak into it more. I mean, I do, but, you know, I don't do it to the point where, you know, I'm just really walking out 2 Timothy 1:17, you know, which is he has not given us a spirit of fear but power, love, and sound mind. I need to walk fully in that power, love, and,
okay.
you know, that self-discipline.
Okay. Well, Chris, what I found to be strengthening for me, because even though a lot that I know now, I mean, I knew a lot when I was younger, and I knew a lot is a lot that I know now far on who God is and his word and, you know, understanding his word. But it didn't matter how much of God's word I would learn or that I was taught about. It didn't matter how much I knew. All that I knew, it still was something in me that kept me from accepting what he said, and it kept me from having peace of mind in his plan for me. It kept me from believing that what he had for me was already prepared, it's already done, it's already solved. It still left something in me with all that I knew prior to me ever becoming depressed, prior to me ever getting married, prior to me ever having children. There was a lot of fear that lied in me, that it just got intense, and it intensified it as I got older. But it has, I mean, right now I'm 40 years old, and I've come to a place now to where it has been me constantly applying, having to apply his word, because to read it and even to teach other people about it is one thing, but it had to truly sink in. And when you realize that you're still full of a lot of fear, it's something in God's word and what you talk about and in what you speak to others. It's something that you're not applying in your own self. I can, real quick, we're going to move to another caller, but real quick, I think sometimes we are in fear or in bondage about some things that we don't even realize that we're
allowed.
You
know what I'm saying?
I had a spiritual mom, I call her, that called me on Friday saying, you know, you've been in my spirit for the last 3 days. Something is going on, and I know it. And just by talking to her, she was able to get some things out of me that I just summed up as just stuff that I'm going through. But it had a lot to do with some fear. So that being said, Chris, thank you so much. Thank you for finally getting through and talking, and we will be able to connect, I'm sure, later. But keep holding on the show because we have a few more calls that we want to get in. We have only 11 minutes to go, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you,
calling
Chris.
In, Chris.
Not a problem.
Okay, we have Ms. Edwards. Arlene Edwards.
Yeah, hi, Tim and Tika. A scripture that I was trying to find earlier and didn't, but I think this would be the antidote to any fears. I just don't think there's any fear that we can come up with that this wouldn't be an antidote for that fear. And this is from Romans 8, and it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It takes care of all of them, if we really believe that. Thank you.
That's Romans 8 and what chapter, what verses?
Covers for verses 29 to 39. It just kind of, you know, I just kind of skipped. I didn't just do all of them, but it is the 8th chapter of Romans, and it begins
okay.
with the 29th verse.
Okay, so there's Romans 8, chapter 29, I mean, verses
29
through
39. Through verses 39.
Okay. And that does about Romans.
I just read that part that I think covered that.
Okay. And I hope everybody got that. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through 39. And that's Ms. Earlene sharing it, saying that she believes that, you know, that could be an antidote for it all and sums it all up. So I'll be sure to go back up.
I think the biggest problem is that we don't really believe that.
Right. And that's kind of what we were talking about. We can preach the word, we can read the word, but it really is, you know, we were talking earlier where Ephesians 6 talks about, you know, we're up against spiritual warfare, and it takes everybody to help one another to get through this. But it's in saying that, I can sit here and say that, I read my word, I go here and there for Bible study and this and that, but in saying that, when at the end of the day and at the end of the night, I still have those battles and those fears. It just, honestly speaking, we all have them. We can sit here and talk every night of the week about it, and we still will have something that we need to conquer. And that's what I think you mean, Ms. Earlene, is that we have to find that word. I knew a lady that used to walk around with a verse in her pocket every day. And she, when she got into moments like that, she would pull it out and she'd just read them. She said she'd go to the bathroom
to
read them because
herself.
She, you know, as spiritual as she was, she still knew that I am up against spiritual battles and warfare there, you know. So thank you for that. And again, everybody, that's Romans chapter 8, verse 29 through 39.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a caller. I believe this is Tim.
Yes.
How are you?
Yeah. I wanted to touch base on what Tika, is that Tika? What she was speaking about earlier about the things that she had been through. I just think that she's a survivor. She really is. And I think what happened is she identified the problem, she accepted the problem, she analyzed it, and she implemented it. Then she got help. And I just feel that she's at a lower point. And you know, I mean, that says a lot about young women and what young women go through and how they get to that point, you know, in their lives. You know, and the question is that, yeah, we all go through some type of fear, but you have to identify that fear. Once you identify it, then you do something about it. And I'm not saying that like it's easy, okay? But I was really touched. I was really touched by that, and I think it was noble of her to share that with the audience. You know, but me personally, I hear everybody speaking about fear, this and that. And everybody's different, and I cannot impose the way I feel about it on anybody else because we're all different. I just think that, prayer, sure, you got to definitely pray about it. But in the same token, you know, you got to have a side mind and think about, okay, why am I going through this? Why am I fearful of this? What can I do to resolve this? How can I overcome this?
Would you agree that you also have to expose it? Because I think a lot of times people, they want to carry on life for a lifetime, and they are in fear of some things where they just would prefer that they, I like to call it a clown, you know, beautiful clowns where you're all happy, but when you go home at night and take off the suit and the makeup, you're as sad as that can be. But what do you think about acknowledging it? Do you also think that they have to acknowledge
it? I think that's the first step. I think that's the first step, and that's why I say that she's a survivor because she has accepted it. She has realized what she went through, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know why, but I'm sure she has exposed to what got her to this point and why did she get to that point,
right?
You know, that to her lowest point, which is the lowest point that you get to, you know,
right.
And you know, and I think she's done that.
Yeah, but Tim, I'd also like to you know, now that I'm on the other side of this fear, I'm now a single mother. I've been a single mother for almost 4 years. And in these 4 years, I've had more peace than I ever had during my marriage. So that greatest fear was a lot worse in my mind than it actually has become in reality. Now that I'm working on the other side of it, it's not as devastating as I thought it would be. But
right.
God is first and foremost in my life as well. No one comes before God.
You know what, Tika? I'm going to tell you what I got from that. I may be wrong, right? But what I got from that is that, you know, yes, you were in bondage because you allowed yourself to go there. You gave your all to this man and to your marriage because that's what you wanted. But you gave yourself. You forgot about yourself. You know, and all you care about is everything else,
yeah.
Your family, your, I mean,
right.
Your husband, your daughters and all that. You gave up yourself. You gave up your identity.
Yes, Chautauqua was lost.
You lost your identity. You lost your identity. And when everything didn't go right, and when things didn't go right, yes, it was devastating. Because you gave your all.
Right. And we have to remember, too, and we have just 4 minutes to go, so I'm going to be real brief, but we have to remember, too, it's still our life and where we go and what we allow. It has to become it's a choice. And I know some people may not agree with that, but everything that I've allowed myself to go through, regardless, particularly with me being in the Word, I could have chosen that this I'm going to go this way. And not saying that we get ourselves in situations, but I can remember even as Tika was going through it, how that particular night, I just kind of felt it. She just, how she was talking about, you kind of put it out there in the air, and she was set to go to church that next morning, but just didn't quite make it that way. So I think God sends us that help. We just have to be there in that mindset. That's why I said we talk about that stronghold and that mental stronghold. The mind is something else. Her being deciding that I don't want to be a single mother. Most boys are probably not thinking, oh, I'm not going to be a single dad. I'm not going to be a dad. They're not even thinking about that. That just goes to show why women, we're so different. And we need to, as mothers and as fathers, we need to address the issues, particularly with young girls, but boys too.
Right.
But I think women end up the center of everything. You know, we are to be the caretakers of the house and so forth. So with that being said, thank you, Tim, for calling in. We have just 2 minutes to go. We don't have anybody else out in queue to talk. So we were going to just kind of sum up
and end our show.
Mm-hmm. And end the show. And again, Tika, you want to go ahead and end it?
I just want to share one last thing, that the plan for our life is already solved. God has already solved what our life, right, what he has planned for us. That's in Jeremiah 29:11. And we need to remember that you are as God created you to be, not what you've made of yourself, but whatever mistakes you've made or whatever has happened to you, you're still as God created you. Creation is eternal and unalterable. So you are and will forever be exactly as you were created to be, because light, joy, and peace abides in you because God put them there in you.
Now, that being said, my take on that, you may be, but whether you decide to your life and take that road is solely up to you, and it all becomes a choice of where you decide to go, because I think at all times we know when we're making bad decisions, when you're in line with God, you know, you hear that voice.
You know
that you're not supposed to be here.
You know
that. So in my life, that was one of the things. I just had to take accountability for my mistakes, my failures, my downfalls. And I just had to realize that some of the places I've ended up, some of the situations, nothing to do really with God. It was me choosing to get out of the will of God. My choice.
Right.
So now I got to reap what I've sown. So that being said, I think we've had a great show. We've summed it up. Maybe we'll just kind of revisit fear again down the line.
A lot of things derive from
right,
fear. Right.
And as we leave you all, think about what has kept you in bondage. Think about your life. What has kind of kept you from stepping out in the rain to see that rainbow.
And what you need to release
in order to
be free.
And in order to release it, you got to realize that it's a problem. And it's
you got to recognize it.
So that being said, we have 29 minutes. Again, thank you.
29 seconds.
I wish we had 29 minutes. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thank you for your comments.
All of our support.
And if you decide not to share your fear, think about it and read those verses that was given out tonight. That was Romans 8:29-39 and Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the battles of the strongholds that we're up against. Thank you. Good night to everybody.